Well, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Nice to be back with you again. Whenever Sarah was leading last week, she started off by reminding us about what the Bible says about God being a rock, and it sparked me off to think about Psalm 62. So I've been thinking about it all week. And so we're going to turn to Psalm 62 in your Bible just now. And I'm going to read it. Truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down? This leaning wall, this tottering fence. Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my rock, my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Surely the lowborn are but a breath, and the highborn are but a lie. If weighed in the balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion, or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to the Lord, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love, and you reward everything, everyone, according to what they have done. Start off with a question. If you say someone is your rock, what do you mean?
You get strength from them.
Shout it out.
You get strength from them.
You get strength from them, right? What else?
You depend on them.
You depend on them. What else? What did you
say?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, good. What else?
Encouragement.
You get encouragement from them, yes. What else?
Help.
Help? Yeah.
They are solid.
They're solid. And what does that mean?
They can trust them.
Hmm?
They can trust them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't change.
They don't change. What else? I drove by a big rock last night. I was at a birthday party, a 50th birthday party, and I drove by this big rock up in County Antrim called Slamish. I wonder how long it's been there. If somebody's your rock, what else does it mean?
They'll always be there.
They'll always be there. They'll always be there. In Psalm 62, this thing, oh, it is, right? David makes it very plain that God is his rock. Palestine was totally different from. Yeah, you don't see many rocks about this place. The odd one here or there, but The one thing about Palestine, they've got plenty of rocks everywhere, and they were symbols of strength, of power, of refuge, of shelter, of reliability, just being there all the time. And for David, he's saying, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly, he is my rock. If you know anything about David's life, you know that he didn't have a very stable lifestyle. I mean, his life was unbelievable. Going from a shepherd boy to a king, killing a lion and a bear, killing Goliath. Being hunted and hounded by Saul. Committing the awful sin of adultery with Bathsheba. Being responsible for lying and murdering. Losing his son Absalom. Losing a wee baby that was the result of his adulterous relationship. It was a crazy, crazy life. There wasn't much stability about the whole thing. And where did David look for? His rock. For stability. Who did he look to?
Lord.
God. God is his rock. And in verse 11 he says, power belongs to the Lord. How many times he had proved that? That God's power was such that it could do anything. And he also says in the next verse, you, Lord, are loving. He talks about, with you, Lord, is unfailing love. Love that never fails. That was his rock. God was his go-to person for absolutely everything. And because God was his rock, he didn't need to fear. If God is our rock, we have a place of refuge, we have a place of strength. And we're going to enlarge this in the psalm here, just as we think about what it means for God to be a rock. I read a story once about a house that went on fire. And the family were on their way out, and one of the little children ran up the stairs, instead of heading out through the door, ran up the stairs and appeared at the window upstairs, and the father was outside, and the place was full of smoke, and the father was shouting to him, jump, son, jump, jump. And he says, I can't jump because I can't see you. And the father says, it doesn't matter, son, you jump. I can see you. I'm here for you. And that's what it means for God to be a rock. Even at times in our lives when we can't see him and we can't understand, the thing is, he's going to be there for us. He can see us. He knows us through and through. God is a rock. Let's enlarge on that, and the way David does in this psalm. God is the rock of salvation. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. He is my rock and my salvation. God is a rock of salvation. The one thing that David knew was that he needed salvation from his enemies. And the initial reference here is to his enemies who really wanted to bring him down and topple him over. He describes himself as being like a tottering fence. I don't know if you what the fence in your garden is like, but I know that one of the fences in our garden sort of is a bit wobbly on it, and if you want it to, all you have to do is push it over. And that's how David felt, and he felt that, that's what his enemies were wanting to do. They were wanting to bring him down, they were wanting to push him over. But God was his salvation. But it means more than that. For David, it means more than that. It goes far beyond that. To find rest in God alone is to realize that your salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. I will never be shaken. David knows the truth about himself, that he's a sinner, that he has done wrong, that he needs salvation, and that that salvation comes from God. Here's the thing about it. Salvation doesn't depend on you. It depends on God. The word that's used here, actually, Jehovah Zeus, it's the word Jesus. God is my Jesus. He's my salvation. It was Jesus who died for my sins. It was God who provided a sacrifice for my sins. So he is the rock of my salvation. David knows that even though he has sinned grievously and done wrong things, that God is the God of salvation. He's a God who forgives. And I'm sure for those of us who are Christians this morning, we can identify with that. How many times has God forgiven us? I don't know if you ever thought about that. How many times do you sin in a day? Huh? 20 times? Well, you're better than me. When we talk about sin in thought, in word, in deed, sins of omission and sins of commission, we all need forgiveness. You know, if you sin 50 times a day, that means you need your rock of salvation way over 7,000 times a year. God, my rock. And he's never going to change. He's always going to forgive me. That doesn't mean, pardon me, that doesn't mean that I can live as I like. And I can say, God's going to forgive me, so I'll go out and I'll do what I like. No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean that when I do fall and fail, that I have God, and my salvation doesn't depend on me. It depends on God. He is my salvation. He's the rock of salvation. He's my go-to person when I need salvation, when I need forgiveness for my sins. Don't need to go anywhere else. He's my rock. He's always going to be there. The rock of salvation. It's a rock of refuge. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times. You people, pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. David had gone through many troubled storms in his life. And he explains some of these troubles in this psalm. In verses 3 and 4, he says, how long, talking of his enemies, how long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down the leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him and take delight in lies. He says, with their mouth they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Many times throughout his life, thank you. David needed a refuge. He needed somewhere to hide. When his enemies were chasing him, and he found refuge in a physical refuge in a cave. But his real refuge, he is saying here, was in God. There were times whenever he was betrayed by his own son, betrayed by his trusted lieutenant Adonijah, and he needed God to run to hide in the time of trouble. And David is here saying, he's my rock of refuge. In all of the storms and trials of life, David goes to God. And we need to learn that lesson. No matter what happens, no matter how many enemies attack us, no matter how many storms come in life, God is our go-to person. He's going to be there for you. You can trust him to keep you safe. And I'm sure you've proved that. You look back in your life, and how many times have you gone through troubles and trials and faced storms and of various kinds? And God has always been there. If you need a refuge this morning, if you need some protection, go to God. He's your refuge. He's your rock of refuge. He's also a rock of provision. Trust in him at all times. And he says, don't trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. David went through times of physical, material, financial need, if you like. David and his men were in the desert and they were hungry. And they needed food, and God fed them through a widow called Abigail, through the wife of Nabal, Abigail. Another time when he was without food, God provided his needs through a priest. And we look at the history of Israel and we see how they were wandering through the desert and they needed meat. God sent quails. They needed bread. God sent manna every day for them to eat. God provided for their needs. All of us have needs, no matter what our need is. Let me tell you, God is able to provide it. And David is here saying, look, you don't need to resort. Don't put your trust in stolen goods. Or if you do happen to get a lot of money, don't put your trust in that. Look, if you're in need, don't go to loan sharks. go to God. He can provide your need. There is nothing that He can't provide. And trust in Him. One of the richest men in America was called Rothschild, Baron Rothschild. And he was out one evening for a meal. And when he was leaving, he left to give the waiter a tip. And the waiter looked at it and said, Mr. Rothschild, your son eats here regularly and he leaves a bigger tip than that. And he promptly replied, but the thing is, my son has a rich father. And I don't. Here's the thing, we have a rich father. There is nothing that you will ever need in this world that God cannot provide. He's a go-to person. Whenever you have need, whatever that need is, whether it's emotional need, physical need, spiritual need, financial need, I don't care. Paul put it this way, my God shall supply what?
All my needs.
All your needs. Got it, Alec. All your needs. According to His riches in glory. Did you ever think about that? His riches in glory. What are they? Immeasurable. Baron Rothschild's finance had nothing on God. And we've experienced that. Look, you're sitting here this morning. Did you get your breakfast?
Yeah.
Alec had a good one, but I think we'll get our food. You're all lovely dressed. And who provides that every day?
Lord.
God. We go to Him for our need. Realize that. And if God does give you a lot of money, recognize that it comes from God and put your trust in Him. Don't put your trust in riches. That's what David is saying here. One final thing. He's a rock of hope. My soul, yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. David had gone through many dark periods. There was a time when he disobeyed God and he counted the fighting men of Israel. And because he did that, 70,000 people died. Imagine living with that. And I've already mentioned his baby son dying and his grief over Absalom. I mean, he cried over his son's death and said, oh, Absalom, my son Absalom, I wish to God that I had died instead of you. But David discovers that hope for the future lies in God. In verse 9 he says, low-born men are but a breath, high-born men but a lie, and if weighed in the balance they are nothing, together they are only a breath. Our hope for the future is in God. Some trust in men, some trust in chariots. But we will trust in the Lord our God. We need to make sure that our hope is in God. As we look to the future, whatever it holds, our hope is in God. And for us as Christians, at the end of the day, our great hope is what? To be in heaven with Christ. That's our great hope. The hope of eternal life. The hope of glory. And we're looking to God for that. I remember one trip I was in Peru, where we had a group of people, and one of them took sick. The altitude, took altitude sickness. And I carried a bottle of oxygen up and hooked him up to the oxygen on. Said, here, breathe through that, it'll help you. And I prayed with him and left him. I came back about half an hour later and I said, well, how are you doing now? And he said, feel much better now. And I looked down and the tube wasn't connected to the oxygen pump. It was all psychosomatic. You need to be sure that you're connected up to God. Go to God. Go to Him. For salvation. For refuge. When you need somewhere to hide. When you feel that everything is closing in on you. And you feel like people are pushing you. And you're like a toppling fence. You're going to be pushed over. Go to God. Whenever you need. Whatever it is in your life. When the future seems bleak and uncertain, go to God. Because He is the rock of our salvation. He's a rock of refuge. He's a rock of provision. He's the rock of hope. God, He's my rock. I'm the oldest in our family. I know I don't look it, but if you... That means for years, whenever there was trouble or somebody was in need, go to Derek. And he'll sort it. He'll suss it. You know what? I get fed up being a rock. I get fed up and say to myself, I wish they would go somewhere else. God never does. God's always my rock. And He never gets fed up. And He's always there. And He has whatever I need. Thank you for listening.